I don't have a marker here. So, the marker here is on text 35. Ekopyaso rachaitam jagadanda kotim yachchakter asti jagadanda chaya yadanta andantarashta paramanu chayantarashtam govindamari purusham namaham bhajami. He is an undifferentiated entity, as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that are scattered throughout the universe at one and the same time. Such is the primeval Lord whom I adore. Purport. Krishna is the highest of all entities. In him is an entity which is termed chit, spiritual, which is distinct from the principle of limitation. By his inconceivable power, he can at will create numberless universes. All the mundane universes owe their origin to the transformation of his external potency. Again, his abode is beyond human conception, since all worlds, limited and spiritual, chit, exist in him, and he resides simultaneously in his fullness and entirety in all the atoms, in all the worlds. All pervasiveness is only a localized aspect of the majesty of Krishna, the Lord of all. Though he is all-pervasive, yet in his existence everywhere is a medium shape.
Though he is all-pervasive, yet in his existence everywhere in a medium shape.
In a medium shape. In a medium shape consists his spiritual lordship beyond human conception. This argument favors the doctrine of simultaneous inconceivable distinction and non-distinction, and knocks down the contaminating Mayavada, and other allied doctrines. He is an undifferentiated entity, as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that are scattered throughout the universe at one and the same time. Such is the primeval Lord whom I adore. Would anyone like to make some comment? The invocation. Yeah. Simultaneously oneness and difference. The Lord is complete in himself, and everything that manifests from him is also complete. But everything depends upon him. for his existence. And it's also being pointed out here that this verse is supporting the doctrine that Lord Chaitanya professed of achinta bheda bheda tattva, of everything being one and different inconceivably at the same time from the Supreme Lord. And there's also, this doctrine is also expressed in the Bhagavad Gita as well. Can anyone think of the section of Bhagavad Gita where Krishna is explaining his simultaneously, how he's simultaneously one and different from everything besides Vaish? I'm thinking of the 9th chapter, verses 4 and 5 of the Bhagavad Gita, which I can't remember. I know Vaishnavas, but they're right here in our sloka books too. Let's look at 9, 4, and 5. Mayadakshena? No.
Mayatatamidam. 107.
Mayatatamidam sarvam jagada vyakta murtina machtani sarva bhutani nachaham teshavashtita. By me and my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. So as the super soul, Krishna is pervading everything. And as mentioned in this verse, that he is present even within the atom. And that presence in the atom is complete. It's not, it hasn't been separated. It's not any less powerful because it's just there within the atom. But that presence is the complete presence of the Lord.
But how can we differentiate? Because it is said that here, all beings are in me, mm-hmm. but I am not in them.
Yeah.
But here it is said that I am everywhere as my pervasiveness.
Yeah. So that's answered in the next verse of the Bhagavad Gita, in 5, where he says, Na cha mach tani bhutani, nice question by the way, Pascha me yoga maisvaram, Bhuta brin nacha bhuta shto mamatma bhuta bhavana. This is the difference part. Yet, everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, I am not a part of this cosmic manifestation, for myself is the very source of creation. So because everything is coming from Krishna, he can also be separate from it, even though there is nothing separate from him. Still, it's manifesting from his personal form. It's not that everything is one and Krishna's personal form is an aspect of the oneness, but the oneness is actually expanding from his personal form. Not the other way. He's the source of everything. His personal form is the source of everything, as opposed to everything being the source of his personal form. And so simultaneously, achinta bheda bheda tattva. And this is inconceivable to us. I was listening to a lecture this morning. He's saying, not only is it difficult for us to understand Krishna, but actually Krishna cannot even understand himself, because he is always expanding. And we can only understand him according to the degree that he allows us to understand him. So Krishna is inconceivable, simultaneously one and different. Any other comment, Bali? Any point?
Because the only thing is, here it says that everything that is created doesn't rest in me, but here it says that everything is resting on him.
Hmm.
So it looks like sometimes.
Well, in the verse 4, he is saying that everything is resting on him, depending on him. But then he says, also, it is, but it isn't. Simultaneously one and different, because everything comes from me as well. So I'm in everything, but I'm not in everything. where he's saying. Krishna's saying he's in everything, but yet he's not in everything. So this is, personally, this is what really, really attracted me or convinced me of this this path of Krishna consciousness, because it's completely comprehensive. There's no limit to the aspect of God. You know, he's not just an old man sitting on a throne in heaven, and he's also not limited to the oneness. He's simultaneously one and different. So all conceptions of God, no limitation whatsoever, is there within this philosophy of Chinta Bheda Bheda Tattva. And I did not hear this philosophy anywhere else explained so clearly. And this, as Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj is pointing out at the end of the purport, he says, this argument favors the doctrine of simultaneous inconceivable distinction and non-distinction, and knocks down the contaminating Mayavada and other allied doctrines. So this is a contaminating doctrine, because ultimately, anyone who subscribes to these doctrines doesn't believe in the personality of Godhead. That ultimately they think that everything is one, and therefore one cannot have a relationship with God. I always find it so hilariously contradictive, because a lot of times when people speak who actually are Mayavada and personalists, they don't even know the word or realize they're Mayavada, really. And on one level, they're always talking about God and praying to God. And they're kind of admitting their dependence upon the Supreme Being. But when it gets down to the end, they don't believe in a Supreme Being. But practically their whole conversation, you know, their whole speaking is, you know, that yes, we believe in prayer. Yes, we should chant the name of the Lord. We should worship the Supreme Being. But then they also say, well, you know, you're the Supreme Being, I'm the Supreme Being. Well, if you're the Supreme Being and I'm the Supreme Being, then why do we have to pray to a Supreme Being? Why are we in this mess at all? How can we be covered by illusion? But this contradiction never arises in their mind. They don't see the contradiction in their words and in their belief. And it really is such a bewildering thing. And it's Maya's, it's Krishna's external energy, really. That's causing this bewilderment.
Yeah. I just realized what my Prabhupada gave on.
Just realized one realization from Prabhupada's book, whatever you told that. He mentioned during the own planet exploration, that time, the scientists who were planning to go, they prayed God that please save us, we do not face any danger. But when they came back, they said that we didn't see any God. So initially they are believing that this is God, but after that they are saying, fine, something goes wrong, then they say they're blaming God or something goes wrong, they take the credit. That's the problem.
Yeah, as soon as we see that we're not in control, then we start praying. And then we get bewildered again, thinking, oh, everything's fine. No, there's no God. So you know the saying in English, there's no atheists in foxholes. Have you ever heard of that expression? There's no atheists in a foxhole. Well, this expression came out particularly during World War I, which was that was a real nasty war, because they had invented some terrible weapons by that time. They were gassing each other and using flamethrowers and mustard gas and all these terrible weapons. And they were out on the front lines, and they would dig holes in the ground for protection, because there wasn't, you might be out in a field somewhere, so you can't behind a rock. Can't hide behind a rock or a tree. So they would dig these big lines big long ditches, and then they would get in these ditches and then they would fight with each other. So that was called a foxhole. Or sometimes foxes dig a hole to hide and protect themselves. So in that situation, it's a very hellish. At any moment, the soldier knows that he could die. Some mustard gas bomb could land on him or some other terrible weapon. So they would say, in foxholes, there's no atheists. So let's see what's next. You think I'd know this routine by now, but I don't. This next is the bhajan. The bhajan.
Yeah, I have a question. So in Bhagavad Gita, it's also written about all the three modes of material energy are also either in Krishna or because of Krishna. Which means ignorance also is either because of Krishna or how do you explain that? And frankly.
So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that the. That's Maya Dakshena Prakriti, Suryache Chaturataram, Hetunanena Kuntaya Jagad Vivari Partite. Is that the verse you're thinking of? So you're mentioning a verse in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says it.
15 verse, we should die in the forgetfulness and the remembrance. Yeah, 15. No, all modes of material energy are. Means the mode of goodness, mode of patience, and mode of ignorance is caused by. That's maybe 16.
This. There's this verse, the material nature, which is what of my energies is working under my direction. O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings, under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Not that one. You're talking about how everyone is bewildered by the three modes of material nature.
He wanted to know how is it, if Krishna's the source of everything,
uh-huh.
he's all light and knowledge, how is it that ignorance also emanates from Krishna?
Oh, I see. So how would it be possible if he's all light then for darkness to emanate from the light? So, well, Krishna, he manifests, you know, he doesn't directly contact it, but it manifests through him in the form of Shambhu, you know, as it's being described in the Brahma Samhita. And so it's simply Krishna's manifestation. It's his lila, so that the living being can have a choice to forget him. Because unless Krishna manifested the darkness, then there would be no choice. We'd have to stay in the light. So in order for there to be choice, there has to be that possibility or potential. And so wherever there's light, there's also a shadow. And Maya is that shadow. And as long as the living entity wants to stay in it. So everything comes from God. And light, the shadow exists because of the light, not vice versa. So that's the potential is there.
Just like the garment and the prison. The garment and the prison. The garment and the prison can be a good analogy. That the government doesn't want to construct prison houses, but still there are some people who are criminal type of people, and the government needs a suitable place to punish them.
Yeah.
Similarly, the Lord, though he does not want to create this material energy full of ignorance, but because the will of the jiva, he has to create it, so that the jiva can be in that condition. Wonderful.
Of course, I think Srinivas Prabhu, he's just thinking and more in a kind of a linear logical term, like, well, if everything is light and Krishna is light, then it's not possible for there to be darkness because everything is light. But also another example I like is the example of a cloud and how the cloud is actually manifested due to the heat and light of the sun upon the water, causes evaporation and a cloud to form. And the sun is actually never covered by the cloud, but an infinitesimal, limited, finite jiva, us, can be covered by that cloud. And actually, we're not covered by that cloud either, but we think we are. So that's the potency, or you know, the limited darkness.
But isn't the Maya the eternal, like us, the soul and the Brahman? It's not a choice, like Maya. Isn't it eternal?
Isn't Maya the eternal entity, like the Brahman and the soul?
Maya is eternal, yes. Energy can't be created or destroyed. So it's manifest and unmanifest. When the Maya energy is unmanifest, it's called pradana. So it's there in an unmanifested state, potentially. So that's eternal. The jiva is also eternal. Krishna is eternal. These are described in the Bhagavad Gita. The jiva, the Supreme Lord, karma, time, and material nature. And out of those five, four are eternal, and one is not eternal. And the part that's not eternal is karma, or the jiva's activities. So that means a jiva can come here for some time, and then go back to the spiritual world. And at that point, there's no more karma going on. But everything else exists eternally. Time, the jiva, the Supreme Lord, and what else? Material energy. Anything else? Okay. So let's chant some bhajans. Let's see, page 38, I think, in this book. Thanks, Vaish. Let's read the translations before we sing the bhajan, and then we can meditate on the meaning as we chant. Who would like to start? Page 38, Udila Arvana.
The tinge of red on the eastern horizon heralded the sunrise, the jewel of the wise man Lord covers in their immediate relation. Taking his devotees with him, he went all over the countryside, visiting the towns and villages of Nadia.
The mridangas resounded, tatai, tatai, the cymbals chimed in time, and Lord Gauranga's footbells jingled as his golden form trembled slightly in ecstatic love of God.
Lord Chaitanya called out to the townsfolk, "You spend your nights uselessly sleeping and your days decorating your bodies. Now just fill your mouth with the vibration of the holy names, Mukunda, Madhava, Yadava, Hari, chanting without offense.
You have achieved a rare human body. Don't you care for this gift? If you do not serve the darling of your soul now, great sorrow awaits you at death."
Each time the sun rises and sets, the day passes and flows. Then why do you mean either when you choose to serve the Lord of Brahma? Understand this essential fact. Life is temporary and full of all kinds of miseries. So make it your only business to take shelter of the holy name. And always
engage
in service.
Drink the nectar of the holy name of Krishna and thus satisfy the soul of Bhakti Nanda. There is nothing but the holy name within all the 14 worlds.
Desiring to bless all souls, the sweet name of Krishna has descended to the material world and now shines like the sun in the sky of the heart, destroying the darkness of ignorance.
Does anyone have a favorite verse?
That one.
Accept the fact. Understand this essential fact.
Yes?
That life is temporary and full of all kinds of miseries. So make it your only business to take care of the body and always engage in a service.
Right.
Difficult to accept that fact.
Difficult to accept that fact. Yes, it is. until we experience some suffering, right? And then we see our helplessness, and we get perspective of the reality of this world. Especially a loved one dies, or we see a traumatic accident. We say, "Well, yeah, that's going to happen to me." Of course, then we forget about it 5 minutes later. But for a few minutes, we realize that we're putting all our money into a bank that's going to go bankrupt. And then we think, wow, why should I be putting my money in here? And the holy name is so merciful. I got an email from a devotee, friend of mine in Japan. He's actually a Westerner living there, and I didn't hear any. We were regularly associating and hearing and chanting a lot together a couple of years ago, and then I didn't hear anything from him. And I emailed him a number of times, and he didn't email me back at all, you know. And then yesterday I got an email from him. And he told me, he goes, "I was suffering so much, I just wanted to forget about Krishna consciousness." He actually became very demoniac. He said that he started worshiping Satan. Can you believe that? He started worshiping Satan and doing rituals. And then he started eating meat. He was a vegetarian before. He started eating meat. He started drinking alcohol. And he said, "None of these things satisfied me. And I had just given up on everything. I'd given up on life and nothing, found no happiness in anything." And then he said, "Suddenly the other day, the Hare Krishna mantra just started flowing in my mind and I couldn't stop it. And I knew I just had to get back on the path." So Hare Krishna mantras, we may try and forget them, the name of the Lord, but once we've chanted it, he's not going to forget us.